It's the Red Tag sales event at Jeff Weiler Chevrolet of Columbus. Look for the red tags and unlock unbeatable discounts on new and pre-owned Chevys. 0% APR on select new Chevrolet for well-qualified buyers. From the rugged Silverado to the sleek Malibu, every tag means savings. Financing made easy. We'll pay off your trade no matter what you owe. Stop by Jeff Weiler Chevrolet on Gender Road or shop anytime at jeffweilercolumbus.com. That's jeffweilercolumbus.com.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
We all set? Oh, we live.
Yeah.
The live is always a creep up.
It is.
We never know when we live.
I just be sitting here. I just burped.
Oh, we live? Just be a shock to the system every time. Cam is a sneaky guy setting this up, man. Yeah, man, we back. Daddy Issues, the Valentine's Day edition. Of course you don't like Valentine's Day, huh?
So stupid.
Of course you don't like it.
So dumb.
The day for lovers. I'm not into it either. I'm not into it, man. You know, it was cute back in the day, handing out the little cards in class. You know what I mean? But then I got older. Nah. You know. Last year, man, Sabrina did something really nice for me for Valentine's Day. She got me a projector and, like, made the room into, like, a little movie theater. Because I love movies. I was like, man, you know what I'm saying? Who does this?
I don't even know what we do. I don't think we've ever done anything.
Yeah, that's because y'all don't care about nothing as a couple.
We're going out tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Just to chill, hang out with some other
For Valentine?
People. Nah, just to go. It's a thing, and they have it, and we're just like, oh, we're pulling up with some friends.
Oh, in somebody's house?
No, it's like a little lounge.
Oh, a little vibe.
R&B
huh?
type.
You going to wear a button-up shirt with the top few unbuttoned? No?
I don't know what I'm going to wear, though, because it said dress to impress. But I'm like, who am I impressing?
Right.
The lady I want to impress, I'm already smashed.
You not going to wear a blazer with some jeans?
No, with some Stacey Adams.
With the dress shoes?
No,
curl
I hate
up.
That.
Either you going to wear a suit or you going to wear jeans. You're not going to do both.
You need your water?
Yeah, man. It should be fun then, man. On a Tuesday. Wait, what's the day? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
I don't even know what day. Man.
No, it looks like fun.
Yeah. It should be. It's in L.A.?
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, buddy.
I got to fly out tonight, so ain't nothing cracking for me. Might try to squeeze in a movie before I dip out. Try that out and see what happens, you know what I'm saying? But Valentine's Day, man. Ah. You know what I mean? I like to get my mom something, you know. I always like to get, you know, my ex-wife a little something from the boys because I know they trash at gift-giving. Well, Serene is better at it, but, you know, Sincere just be at all times. So.
I don't know if I've gotten my mom anything since I was like a kid.
Well, you're a horrible son.
Nah, I just.
A horrible son.
She has a husband?
Horrible son.
I just, Valentine's Day is done to me just on the tip, like, for what?
For them.
But I could do that on a random Tuesday in the middle of April.
But you won't.
Yes, I will. That's the thing.
Well, like,
I just went out the other day and I was running some errands and I just stopped in. I was like, she mentioned she wanted something. And I just grabbed it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to wait. Valentine's Day is a hustle.
I mean, they're all hustles.
It's a hustle.
Every single holiday is a hustle.
Like, I want you to buy. It's either you're going to spend money or get in trouble. Mm-hmm. That's the only two things that can happen on Valentine's Day. You either get in trouble because you didn't do something right, or you spend money on stuff that you could have just got randomly. Like, if you need a reminder to show people you care, mm-hmm. That relationship's done. It's over.
Right.
Why do I need to do this on this day because you told me to so you can jack up prices on stuff? No.
Right.
I'm not doing it.
Or the key is go for the day after when they lower everything.
that day after.
Desperate measures. You
anything.
Know
but I'd be like, we never do anything on Valentine's Day. Because we're like, we're both like, the prices are ridiculous. The reason is ridiculous. Like, it's just, you should be celebrating love every day.
The only thing I find ridiculous on Valentine's Day is just the crowds at restaurants.
Yeah.
Like the prices, I never noticed anything being ridiculously priced, but the crowds, man. Like if you want to go out to eat, man, packed.
Like that's why we don't go out on Mother's Day. My mom and my wife be like, no, hell no. Yeah. It's just too many people.
Packed. That's the only beef. I don't mind day. I like days. Like I like celebrating a day. I think it's just, you know, cool. But because I like themes, I like, you know, celebrations. But, yeah, those days just be jam-packed, man. And Mother's Day, it's the mother of all male days, according to Seinfeld.
They just be.
And so I'll just be like, all right, you know, Mother's Day.
Valentine's. Why was that Seinfeld thing such a big deal on your page?
Because, man, people were like. First of all, people were just like, you know, ain't no black folks on the show, so I can't relate. I'm like, so all you relate to is blackness? And then it was like, this one dude came to me and like, man, he's just trying to kiss up to Hollywood. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, how long have you been following me, man? And like, it was just a ridiculous accusation. I was just like, that's my style of humor, man. And people were like, I relate to Martin Moore. Then I brought up points like, you relate to a karate instructor that gets beat up by his assistant? Was money in middle of the class? You relate to that. That's happened to
like,
you.
You could say that's more your humor, but relatable.
Yeah.
Other than seeing people that look like. I ain't going to lie. Growing up, I didn't watch Seinfeld, Friends, stuff like because it had no black people.
Right.
But I'm not going to say
it wasn't. At least you were upfront with it.
Yeah. But that's why I didn't watch it. It wasn't because it wasn't like. I was like, well, this ain't for me. Right. But I got older and I watched. It's funny.
It's hilarious. And it was like. And I watched. Because I was watching this stuff live, like when they were actually on. And because I watched Seinfeld season one when it was live, like, you know, when I say live, I mean, when it was, you know, coming on weekly. And I was watching it. I didn't quite get everything, but I just liked it. And then, you know, it got funnier as time went on. And then it started going up against the Fox Thursday night lineup, which was Martin, Living Single, and New York Undercover. And I watched all of those. So I had to tape Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And I was watching Martin, Living Single, live. Like, I was watching those live, feeling like I could help the ratings by, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, Seinfeld don't need the ratings. No. It was the number one show on TV. So I wanted to make sure. But I don't even think the ratings, it's not in every household like that. So I don't know if it mattered. But Martin, man, pound for pound, like, hard laughs, those first two seasons, man. And then, like, Martin later on, it would be, like, sprinkles of, like, a hard laugh.
Yeah.
Like, when Martin kept fighting that little hairy thing when they were vacationing. That was so funny to me at random, but not relatable.
Yeah, no.
Not relatable. So I was just like, what is
that? I think when they meant relatable, maybe they just meant people that look like them. Because we used to tune in as a family to watch Martin, Fresh Prince. So, because it was black people.
Right.
So that's what we watched. Like, Friends, my friends. My white friends would come to school. They'd be like, "Did you see Friends? I don't watch that."
Yeah.
"Did you see Home Improvement? I don't watch that." Right. I watched all that stuff later. Yeah. The only white show I watched, just like to be watching like that, was King of Queens.
King of Queens.
And that show is flawless. That show.
That
King of Queens in my top five.
This is my top five too.
King of Queens, Fresh Prince, Martin with an asterisk because after the third season,
it just crumbled, man. I just felt like he was trying too hard to make us
laugh. And people
don't
want to admit that. People do not want to admit that Martin had three hot seasons and the last two was awful.
Faded out.
They weren't good.
No.
They weren't good. The first three were incredible.
Oh, man.
And then after that, and then Blackish is climbing. Blackish is so good.
A great show.
It's so good.
Blackish and Modern Family are great shows.
Like
every
they're
time
funny.
I watch those,
and like, they're like good.
Yeah.
Like the topics, the. Mm-hmm. Blackish will fit so much into one episode. Yeah. I'm like, I feel that. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, this is hilarious. Like, it's so much.
It's a really good show. I'm glad it's popping, too.
Yeah.
ABC, man, they making some good choices out here. Because when Modern Family debuted, I was like, yo, I love this show.
Yeah.
And every time I don't watch the shows the day they come on. Well, like, when I catch them, I'll be sitting there, like, and I'll easily get caught up in, like, a back-to-back. I'm like, man, I really like these shows, man. And, But yeah, like, no, I just like, funny. I'm just all over the map when it comes to like humor. Like, you know, in my top 10, you'll see Arrested Development, Seinfeld.
It was so funny. Not that last season they did.
Yeah, when they brought it to Netflix, it wasn't the same.
But the first one, man, Tobias used to have me about to throw up.
Yes.
It was so funny.
That show was so funny. It's just everything about it. The money's in the banana stand. It really was in the banana stand. But yeah, so, you know. But that was just like, it was just interesting to me how people was reacting. And so I was just like,
yeah, I think I know what they meant by relatable. But they should have just said growing up.
They should have just said there's no black representation and leave it at that. Because the humor in Seinfeld is mad relatable.
It's just funny.
Breaking up with people for petty reasons.
Yeah, it's just funny.
We've all done that. I ain't like her hands.
I do that daily.
Man, her hands were just.
That's all we do when we're scrolling.
Look at the hands, though. The pettiest. I'm shallow, though, so, you know.
Yeah.
I'll
he was super shallow. Like, when he changed the thing on his jeans, like, that's so ridiculous. Who cares? You went up a size, bro. It's ridiculous.
Oh, man. I love that
I think
show.
What made me actually start watching it, because, like I said, I didn't watch it growing up, it was on while mom was cooking. Because you know that stuff used to be on, like the King Queens, Everybody Loves Raymond, something. Like those would just come on, like the reruns. And it was the Bubble Boy episode.
Oh,
when he ran out and pushed them kids, man, I flatlined. And I was like, I might start watching it. I died. Man.
It's so funny, man.
It's so funny.
And then I was like, every black dude, this is an episode of Seinfeld, every black dude should be able to relate to this. It was an episode where he kept going to the same barber, but the barber was giving him trash haircuts. Kramer went to the same guy. Like, who does your hair? It's the guy's cousin. Your barber's cousin that's just a chair down. And so Seinfeld, he wanted to get in on that, but he wanted to stay loyal to the guy. And then that whole, you know, so he tried to do it at his apartment. Then the barber was piecing it together. He's like, it's some funny business going on. He mashed the hair and just figured it out. Mad funny, man. Sound like, man, everybody can relate to that on the barbershop level.
Yeah, Blackish did that at barbershop level.
Man.
And he, in the Blackish one, he didn't know his barber was trash. Like, he'd been going to him since he was a kid, but his barber got old and was just trash. So he didn't know. And then his son went to the younger barber and was getting these clean cuts. Yeah. And Dre was coming home with, like, crooked hairlines. But he thought it was, like, and then one day they just told him, like, they held up a mirror. He was like, oh, God. Like, he didn't know. It was so funny.
Yeah, man. Good TV shows, bro. Curb Your Enthusiasm is another good one.
That's hilarious.
On the Larry David.
It's so funny.
Larry David is the common denominator with Seinfeld. He's a funny guy, man. Yeah, man. What's up? What's new on the dad tip,
man? So
Kendrick keep pointing to the dad.
So last week, you know, Keelan has asthma. So anytime he gets like a virus or a cold, it super hikes up the asthma.
Right.
We had to take him in. He had to stay in the hospital for 4 days.
That's a long time.
So they can get his breathing back right and everything. Like, he was fine, but it's just like he was ready to go. He was putting on his jacket. Like, he was like, I'm tired of being in here.
Right.
And, like, he's in there so much, like, because of the asthma and the weather. Like, he walks in, like, he knows, hey, Bernice. Right. Like, just give me my normal room. Like, we just be in there.
Yeah.
And, but he was fine. But then he caught the virus. And then I saw kids from his class. I saw their parents downstairs. So the whole class then caught it.
Wow.
Caught the virus. And then now they're over. Keelan's completely over it. He's getting over it. As they gave it to me. I got it like for a little bit. That's why my voice is trash.
Yeah, your voice, I noticed that.
Yeah. So that's they sickly.
Y'all just
sickly.
Y'all just a petri dish at your house.
Sickly.
Right now.
And I was like, because we was talking like we never catch their stuff. Like we just. And as soon as I said that, I was like,
that's why you never say it. You never say it. You ignore it.
But the difference, like, with them is, like, they don't know how to cough the stuff out.
Right.
So with me, I just been spitting out phlegm all day. Mm-hmm. Like, and it'd be fine. But Keelan was throwing up because he was swallowing it, don't know how to spit it out.
Yep.
And it was just like, now he's fine. He's back at school. But it's just like, sickly once again.
Right. It's funny, man. Like, you know, as kids, I didn't know any better because I used to always take it back down. Like, ew. It's disgusting to think about, but that's what I did because I didn't know the purpose. You know, you get older, you learn. And kids are just disgusting.
And they were talking about, like, it was a virus going around all the kids, and he was like, if you could keep them separate, I'm like, how?
How
am I going to keep them separate?
Yeah.
As soon as they said that, I look over, he was on his back. He was on.
If you could just keep them separate.
He was on Keelan's back wrestling. I was like, they're not going to be, they're best friends, first of all.
Right.
Oh, that was one thing that was cool. Like, when Keelan was in the hospital, he was asking for Kendrick. He's like, well, where's Ken Hick? Yeah. He called him Ken Hick. Where's Ken Hick? And I bring him in. It was like, ah, they like ran up to each other. Like, yeah. It's so funny to see them versus the first, you know, 4 or 5 months of his life when Keelan was like, who the hell is this dude?
Right.
And then now they're like, this is my guy.
Right.
Like, and Keelan, like, his older brother, I don't know what to call it, instincts, whatever, have hella kicked in. Like, if he's crying, he goes and checks on him, like, or if he wants some of his food. Like, we're busy sometimes, so he'll be hungry. He'll go get his food and give it to him. Like, he really is like,
oh, that's dope,
I'm looking out for my guy over here. I get his stuff. I get, like, Keelan, his, how much he's blossomed over the last, like, since he hit 3, he's potty trained now.
Yeah.
And it just kind of happened. He was just like, you know what, I'm done peeing on myself.
Wow. He out here grown, he man. Stopped. He got a briefcase.
Yeah, he be talking, he be doing stuff. He's like a little adult.
He got a part-time job. Y'all
he
don't
be
even know
feeding,
about.
Like, he used to, he loves tacos, but now he knows how to fold the taco himself.
Okay.
Eat it.
Corn tortillas?
Yep, of course.
Yeah.
He be just talking up a storm. He just, like, all the stuff that they was like, he's behind. Now he's like a person.
Yes.
Just like overnight.
Mm-hmm.
He be saying stuff. He be picking up. He picks up everything. Like, so, like, he does this new thing now. Like, if he drops something or breaks something or does something not supposed to, he's like, like, that's his thing. And I don't even know where he got that from.
Yeah.
But he dropped something in the tub the other day and he looked up. He's like, it's like,
that's dope, man.
Yeah, he just, it's crazy how he just, like, I tried to put his pull-up on the other day. He was like, nah. He wanted to wear his drawers. Like, he was like, nah, I don't want, I'm done with the pull-ups.
Yeah. I want these regular man drawers.
So he wants the regular cars, underwear. Like that. So he wears. And when he got to go, he tells us. He wakes up. Now he wakes up in the middle of the night. He don't even pee a bit.
So he just gets
he
up,
went,
goes
he went
to
from
bathroom.
He went from not being potty trained to 4 in the morning, comes in our door, I got a potty. I'd be like, what the hell? Hey, overnight. It's insane.
That's dope, man. He's like, I got a potty. I started some coffee, but I need y'all to make sure I pee.
He be downstairs with his robe.
Yeah. Like,
y'all want breakfast?
Yeah, I put a pot on, you know.
He's just an adult, like, out of nowhere.
That's super dope.
It's so funny.
He is a grown man.
He's
now,
and he takes care. He helps out with him.
He's going to be working at Trader Joe's next year, bagging.
He's going to be on stage. Dad, I think I got a routine I want to try out. Y'all ever been taking care of your brother?
Just me. Hold your brother down when he's sick, but you got to go to school as well. Man, let me tell you something. Round of applause for everybody that got symptoms. Crowd give them that. Oh, everybody only child? Man, y'all wild.
The crowd don't be giving us nothing.
Yeah, I hate the crowd. Me? I don't hate the crowd. I just hate depending on them for anything.
That's why I don't like asking questions. I'll say a statement and just roll.
Because we all parents in here.
And I'll just roll with it.
Yes, you are.
Because they will not. You'd be like, you could look at the crowd and see 5 black shirts. Anybody wear a black shirt before?
No, they'll give you nothing. You can't trust them.
Def Jam has ruined crowd participation because everybody feels like they're going to get roasted.
They shook, man. I was at a show last night. You know, Ruben Paul, when he hosts, he'll dip into the crowd. And so they just be shook, man. They just
so
be
scared.
What's up? Especially the questions he be asking. Well, y'all, how long y'all been together? People be like, oh, we just on the date. They be shook.
They be panicking. If you say what's going on here, they
man.
Be like,
yep.
And nobody wants to say the wrong thing because, like, one person always thinks it's more than it's not, than it is.
Right.
So whether it's the girl or the guy. So they let waiting on the other one to answer to say what it is.
Yeah.
Then sometimes they'd be on different pages. Oh, this is a date? No, it's not.
It's awkward, man. That's why I rarely ask a question unless I know they look like they really together. I see rings on both, then I'll be like, but usually people just be. Brad Garrett, at the Brad Garrett Comedy Club, there's a perfect picture that he has on the wall of the club that summarizes the whole. It's like a picture of a cartoon Brad Garrett asking, how you love birds doing? And then the two people he's talking to just look terrified and all this. It's like, oh, and I'm like, that sums it up. People avoid that front.
Like
if they sit themselves, they always back a row. They like, nah, I ain't getting.
Oh, they be
close.
Like, I'll come, but you don't make fun of me.
Yeah, don't just. Please.
But I feel like the people who say that want to be made fun of.
I don't know. Some people really don't.
Like the ones that be like, oh, dude, you ain't gonna crack on me, are you?
Oh,
like,
yeah, oh, they say it like
I'll
that.
Be like, yeah,
I'm coming for you. But yeah, man, I usually try to need my audience. I don't like to make the audience member feel dumb or just like, I don't like when comedians do that. They try to make people look dumb in the audience or put them on blast.
They just came to have a good time. They came And truth be told, I don't want to involve you. Yeah. I got stuff I want to say.
Right.
So if you could just sit there and laugh, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Like the people who want to be involved in the show.
Right. If I'm hosting, I'll dip it to the audience.
If I'm hosting, I'll do it. Yeah, you know to bring, like, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And get them ready.
You know. And then, you can heckle me, don't heckle
exactly.
My people coming up.
Because
I'm just talking out of my butt right now.
I'm just up here saying stuff. You know, my week.
How your boys doing? If you see him,
I barely even see them. Cecilia's trying to get in these colleges, so he's been applying for like scholarships and stuff like that. He got accepted to this one school we looked at, and
where's that?
It's expensive though. It's in San Pedro.
Where's that?
Like down to 110. Like you go all the way down to 110.
Oh yeah, I'm tripping.
Yeah. So, you know, because he had hit me up, he had text me like, "Dad, you got your tax returns from 2017? I'm like, oh, you own it, huh? But I was on the road, so I didn't have that information, so I had to scan it, send it to him. And then I got to log in to something else for it. So he really wants to go to college. Like, he's putting in the work to, you know, get up out of here. You know what I'm saying? I feel like he's just like, yeah, I'm ready to get up out of here. You know what I'm saying? Serene, he's still on the soul search. He's still on the soul search, man. He's just soul searching. Yeah, I'm rapping. He sent me a song that he did. He's like, you're going to like this one because it's a storytelling song. And so I was like, all right. Because he know I like storytelling.
Yeah,
rap,
me too.
Know?
I love it.
Yeah, because before, he just been rapping about whatever. I'm like, all right, you're bragging, but that's not compelling. And so he sent me that. I was like, all right, it's a story. And I was like, why are you saying niggas so much in the song? And he was just like, I was like, It might hit harder, the story you're telling, to give that person the name. Because he was telling the story from like a character point of view.
Yeah.
And I was like, give him a name instead of calling them nigga every time. Just give him a name. And he was just, oh, okay. Yeah, think about that. That makes it more compelling for the listener. Like, you know, Brenda's got a baby. Exactly. Like song,
I don't know Brenda, but Keisha. I was like, Brenda.
Yeah.
Brenda, why?
When you put a name to the character, you're like, man, Keisha. Like,
yeah.
You know, that Kendrick song. So I was like, yeah, give him a name.
The name, definitely, man. And you could just call the song that, the name.
Yeah.
And the name makes it seem like who is this person? Like, I know this person. I'm
you
related.
Visualizing something.
Because if he'd have just been like, if Tupac would have just said, you know, teenagers having babies, all right. But Brenda, you was like, Brenda,
man.
What happened?
Man? It was such a, you felt like it was a real story. Like, man, who, I'm going to look this Brenda up.
And
man.
Then the beat he put on that song, too. Like, I was like,
yeah.
I was all in. I was like, man,
this is heavy. It was funny when I first saw Brenda's Got a Baby. I was like, oh, so this is a actor that started rapping. Because I had seen him in Juice.
Yeah.
He came out with that. And I was like, oh, let's see if this pans out, you know. Lo and behold, he would become the biggest rap icon of all time.
Right.
But,
I know, even my dad liked Pac, and he didn't really like rap.
Yeah.
But he liked Pac because of the Sadies and the Brenda's Had a Baby. Yeah. And, you know, he was like, he be talking about everything.
Yeah, man. He transcended the...
Yeah.
Just, you know,
because my dad didn't like gangster rap because he lived that,
right?
So, like, even the NWA movie, he was like, when everybody else thought of, you know, it was so good, mm-hmm. He was like, I lived in LA in the 80s, like,
yeah,
and his memories aren't good, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Some of them, you know, fun, but like other stuff, he was like, I remember that shit.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, hey,
you wasn't having a good time, man.
He was like, I want to leave the cops dropping us off and they were beating us, you know, he's like, what's fun about that,
right?
And I get it, so like, when NWA and stuff was hot, he was into it because he related. Like, right. We was like, you know, F the police and mm-hmm. all. But as far as like thinking it was dope, like, it was our voice, but at the same time, it was like.
He wasn't with the glorification.
Yeah.
He just like.
He felt that, thank you for speaking on our behalf. Right. But as far as glorification, that's not fun.
Right.
So I was like, I get it.
Because NWA definitely did start glorifying it more on the Niggas for Life album.
Yeah.
But it was just like, all right, now. And then with the Death Row era, the Chronic Doggy style, they were just having a good time.
Yeah, like people wanted to be thugs.
Yeah.
For the people who really lived that life or was around it, they were like.
And that's how you could tell, like, Ice Cube was doing the writing.
Yeah.
For NWA on that initial album, because it was a different.
Yeah.
Like, express yourself and, like, fuck the police. They was actually talking about
something. Yeah.
And Cube kept that going with his solo career.
Exactly.
NWA was just like, we gangsters, we, they robbing banks in the videos. Yeah. It was just like, but Cube was like, nah, this is what's going this on is, in America.
This is, yeah.
Yeah. And even it was a good day. It was supposed to be a chill day. He still threw some stuff in there. So it's like, you could see that change.
And then even in a good day, he woke up like, this ain't real. Yeah. I'm tripping.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen
he
here.
He went outside. The cops was out there. He's just like, I knew it.
He's like, yeah. I knew it. And that was L.A. then. So,
yeah.
And my mom and dad are from L.A. Grew up in there. Like, so, like, Tookie stayed around the corner from them.
Oh, wow.
So, they, like, even when Tookie became, like, big, my aunties and my mom and them were like, we just know him.
Yeah.
So they like, we hear about him every, you know, you hear what Tookie did the other week? He was beating up the cops. Like, yeah. You know, he was huge.
He was huge.
So, and my uncles were Crips. So,
yeah.
They, my dad has hilarious dating stories. Like when he was first dating my mom, well, them stories are hilarious. Because, you know, he walked my mom home and they'd be all on the porch.
Yeah.
Where are you from? He's like, oh, shit. Like, so he said he would like, you know, he was dating her or whatever. He'd walk her home or whatever. And they would, you know, he just never would answer anything. He'd just like, I'm just trying, you know, date your sister or whatever. And he said he would, like, leave. And there was this alley that they used to catch people in all the time. So he said he would leave, but he didn't want to look back. He didn't want to look, like, soft or whatever. But as soon as he would hit the alley, he would sprint home, like, the entire way. But he didn't want to run in front of them.
Right.
But, like, my mom said they used to always do, like, it was so hard for my mom and my aunties to date, especially for my one of my uncles, the older one, because he was like, no. Like, he's in that book, Monster.
Oh, he's in the book?
Yeah.
Wow.
And, like, so my mom and aunties, like, it was so hard for them to date. Like,
yeah.
They would ask, they'd be like, what's your name? She'd be like, Kia. And they'd be like, Baker? She'd be like, yeah. Be like, I'm good. Like, just like that. Like, I'm not dating. Or, like, they would do to walk them home, and my uncles would pop up, like, where you from? And my auntie is, like, one of my aunties is, like, the hood one. She actually ended up being a warden, go figure. But she was, like, she used to, like, want her boyfriends to, like, stand up.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that. Don't be no punk. And it's like, why are you setting him up
For the jump?
Yeah.
He getting jumped.
And they be like, sorry. She be like, you a punk, man. It's like, what is he supposed to do?
Hey, so I got to get jumped in for your love? Everybody ain't willing to do that.
Yeah.
Out the gate,
like, I'm just trying
Let
to
me
date
get to
you.
Know you first.
So, yeah, it was hard for them to date.
If you got that kind of setup as a woman, you got to be dating, like, long term, like, away.
Well, my mom and dad dated from age, like, 16 to I was 19 years old.
Wow.
So they dated for a long time.
No, I mean, like, early on, like, before the family comes into the picture, the dude got to already be in love with you because y'all spent time outside.
Oh, yeah,
then he might stand up to the family member because he already invested his heart. But just initially, like, I kind of like you. You cute.
And the walk home?
I ain't getting jumped for the cute. Mm-mm.
It was insane.
Their last name Baker?
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
My mom's side is Baker.
Might be related. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they said it was crazy. I was like, I can only imagine. Like, right. That's
I would love to hear those
Like,
stories,
my mom would go to parties,
mm-hmm.
and then she thinks she's having a good time, and my uncles and them would take your ass home. She couldn't do nothing.
Yeah. The good old uncles and cousins and the porch. Yeah, man. I forgot what we was talking about.
How
did we even get there?
I don't know.
I don't know how we ended up in L.A.
Brenda had a baby, NWA. Oh, we went down that path.
Yeah.
L.A. in the 80s is how we got there.
I still don't even know how we got there.
I don't. NWA.
We got
the
Tupac.
I was talking about my dad.
Okay.
In the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's the
game. Oh, that's how we got there.
Yeah.
Because
my dad
Serene rapping.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Personalize
yeah.
the name, throw the name in there, the storytelling, boom, there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
This is what happens on Daddy Issues, man.
People be liking the tangents.
They do, man. Tangents, that's all. Podcasts are just tangents.
It is.
They start out with a centralized topic, and then they go off the rails. That's the whole point of this, man. This ain't no, you know, Comics Unleashed, you know, talk show.
And we still be talking about dad stuff. It just be intertwined.
Intertwined, all of it, man.
And,
I just lost my dad's youngest brother died like last week. And I didn't know. And then my brother texted me like, Reggie passed. And I was like.
Oh, so y'all don't call him Uncle Reggie?
Yeah, but the way my brother said it, he was like, Reggie passed away. I was like, our uncle?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah. I was like, what? So I called my dad right away. My dad was regular on the phone, like it was nothing. He's like, hey, Tony. I was like. I didn't even want to bring it up in a way. I'm like, wait, maybe did Reggie die? And he was like, yeah, you know, he was sick for a while. I was like, I didn't know he was.
Oh, maybe that's why.
Yeah. He had like a blood cancer. And so he had been battling with that for a while. I didn't even know blood cancer was a thing.
I didn't either. What is that?
And so it affected his organs. And so, he passed away. He was a good 70, I think. 70, 71? He had a good run.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little short still.
Yeah, but I was just like, oh, because me and my dad were just talking about Reggie and his other brother Leon and stuff like that. And so I was like, man. And the story I had with Reggie, man, when he used to live with my dad, we would go to my dad's house on the weekend. Kendrick up in here on the mic.
Right.
We would go to my dad's house every weekend. And, you know, Reggie was his roommate at the time. And Reggie's room was always dark. It was always dark. All you could see was the clock. Like, yeah, one of those digital
lights.
So all we would look in there, it would just be the time. It'd be like 8:38. And it smelled like incense all the time. It's like, Reggie, you in there? Yeah, what's going on, man? Oh, daddy wants you. And it was just, you know, and those are like my big time memories of Reggie, just always being chill, incense. In the dark room with just the clock on.
Just chilling.
Yeah, and then they all moved to the Chicago suburbs eventually. And, you know, that's where they was at. It was funny how black the Chicago suburbs ended up getting. When my dad first moved out there, they was like the only black family on the block. That's the only time I got called a nigga to my face.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was just a little girl next door. She's like, hey, nigga. And she said, but the way she delivered it, I can tell she didn't think it was wrong.
Yeah.
I was just like, what'd you say, hey, nigga? And she just, you know.
She heard her parents saying
that. And that proved it. And I was like, I never told my dad. I just internalized and was like, all right. And then my upbringing in Chicago, Southside, all black. So I was just like, I would just go back to blackness after that. But then when I was visiting them throughout the years, it was just more and more people moving out that way. And so it's a different dynamic now. But it was just funny to see that transition. In the Chicago suburbs. And not far from there, like a little bit south from there, is Harvey, Illinois. That's where Lupe Fiasco lived. It said he was from the west side, but then I looked at the high school he went to was in Harvey. And so it's technically a Chicago suburb, but it's bad. Like when you look at it, it's like.
Well, that's what Antioch is.
Oh, man.
It's a suburb, but now it's just.
Yeah. But Antioch looked good to me. Like, when I look at it visually, that's the thing about Cali, man. A lot of places, they could be hood, but they still look
Compton is good. Nice.
Yeah.
Certain places in Compton is nice.
Man. Compared to the neighborhoods I grew accustomed to, completely different.
Because East Coast hoods and Midwest, Chicago, New York, it's project buildings. Yeah. It's more grimy. Like, in L.A., it's like, it's nice out here. And then.
Lawns.
Pop, pop, pop. Like, why are you shooting on a lawn?
Lawns with the fence. And porches. Right. You got a lawn. You got a palm tree with a bullet hole in it. It's like, man.
Visually, the hoods in California are not the same.
Right.
Everywhere else, you know you in a bad neighborhood.
Man,
California, you could accidentally be like, am I supposed to be here?
Right.
And then you don't know until the nighttime come on. Like, in Richmond, they should shoot out the streetlights. On one of the streets, so nighttime it's just dark. You're like, I'm not supposed to.
Right, Richmond. I heard about Richmond being bad.
I'm from the Bay. I can count the number of times I went to Richmond.
Yeah, that's what. What's his name from Yuckmouth? Yuckmouth is from Richmond.
Well, the thing about the Bay Area is like, one is it's so big. Like as far as your city versus going out to Richmond. First of all, was far.
Yeah.
For me, and second of all, like if you're not from that place. You might as well, it's foreign.
Right.
So certain cities, you'd be like, I ain't from there.
Right.
Like, I ain't going, what reason I got to go over there?
Why do I need to be there? You know what I'm saying? So it's a valid question. Like, why are you here? Like, this is a good question.
Just the mall. That's it.
Right. Yeah, but I don't think I've ever been to Richmond. But I'm fascinated with hoods, though, at the same time. Like, I like to go, especially when, you know, rap is connected to it. Like, let me go over here and see what they talking.
I went to New York, I went to see Marcy. I just wanted to see.
I got to see her.
I went during the day. You know what I mean?
I want to go to Queensbridge, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I got to see that. But every time I go to New York, I got to come back immediately.
Oh, I always do like a week.
Man, I never get a chance. It's like I got to come. Usually I'm there for a day or two at the most. And then I got to dip.
Because, you know, my mother-in-law's there. So we go for a visit.
And I got the connection now to New York with just finding the time and stuff like that. So, and I had a show this weekend in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I've lived in Albuquerque like for summers, because that's, if y'all don't know, that's where my ex-wife is from. My sons are born in New Mexico. One in Las Cruces, one in Albuquerque. So I got a lot of family friends in New Mexico. We had a show out there on the tour, and they came through. And it was just good to see. My mom came. My brother came. My niece and nephew was there, like old friends. I was just like, man, I miss New Mexico, man. I want to go back. And just, you know, just hang it. Just spend a week out there, you know.
Yeah.
And I definitely miss that when I get that quick dose. And I love it when the Baker boys hang out with their cousins and, you know, all of that. I love that.
Oh, family time is...
The family time is just...
I be feeling bad because, like, we be, like, talking positively about family and stuff like that. And then people be in the comments, whether it's IG, YouTube, whatever. And you talk about family, they be like, well, not my family. I be like, right. Damn.
People got some trash family.
Yeah. And I be feeling bad because I love family stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I love it.
They got some families. It's just like, man, it just ain't. Because you think about it, a lot of stuff goes on within families. If you got a good family, that's a blessing, man, because everybody don't have that.
Yeah. Everybody, and even the stuff that goes on, it's just like, I don't know. It just, nobody really. It's only one situation in my family where we're still trying to, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But other than that, it's like, we survived the crack era. We survived. Right. Like, it just, nobody. Now, me as a kid, though, it's funny. Like, you know, I was a kid or wasn't alive when a lot of this stuff happened. But to see the ramifications of, like, the people my mom and aunties and stuff grew up with and see them now. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, they clean now, yeah. But, like, damage was done.
Right.
Or they, you know, they not all the way clean. Like, I didn't grow up around it, but, like, as an adult now I can recognize it. I'm like, yeah. You still own stuff, bro.
Man.
Like, this ain't. Your behavior was normal. Right. The last time I saw you, this is a totally different. Did you relapse? Like, what happened?
Right.
And to see the stuff now, it's like, interesting.
Right. You'd be like, man.
But like, oh, well. Like, you know?
Yeah. Like, as a kid, it was just whatever. You know, I remember my uncle chasing away my brother's friends at knife point. Because they were playing card games. It just got out of hand. And then I was like on the steps. I was always on the steps in the house, like, when stuff was going on. I'd just be sitting on the steps, ear hustling, and then, you know, I heard it getting real in the kitchen. I was just like, and then I seen my brother's friends scrambling for the door, and then my uncle. And my uncle's big, man. He's tall. He had that knife, and then my mom sped up. I don't know where she was, and then my uncle just sped off because, you know, that's his older sister. She was like, Carlton! I was like.
Yeah, it's funny, like, no matter how far removed from your people, like, you still, everybody, like, I grew up in a suburb, but I still got a bunch of stories, because when you go see your people, that's just, so it's just normal, like, it don't matter how far removed you are from hood activities or whatever, it's just, this is my family,
this is it, man.
It is what it is. My uncle fought my cousin over a basketball game, and he was way younger than him, so then his brother wanted to jump in.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be a family game.
Right.
Fights breaking out. But we was just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like.
Of course.
You just like, all right.
Y'all good? Y'all want some potato salad?
Yeah, people fighting, crackheads, people stopping by.
Drugs hit my family, dude. Drugs and alcohol hit my family, too. Especially
me too.
My mom's side. It was just.
Mom's side, too. Not my dad's side.
Yeah, my dad's side, it was cool, man.
My dad's side, though, had the other stuff going on.
Yeah.
So.
It was just like. So it was up close and personal for me. I was just because it was, especially where we were living at the time in Chicago, I think that apartment, it wasn't an apartment complex, it was like a townhouse complex. I think it was cursed, man. My neighbor's dad got shot and killed at work. My best friend Leon, his dad got shot in the head. The dude in the corner piece. Now, before that, you know, Liz's son, Weldon, set up this girl to be murdered. And then over a little further, Robert's mom, she died because just alcohol drinking. Yeah. And then his father was a drunk. I'd never forget, I stayed the night over at his house. His dad sleepwalks. And then, you know, we could hear him coming down the hallway, and he sleeps naked.
Oh, God.
So we in there faking sleep, and he kept calling Robert, and his nickname was Moody. So he's like, Moody, Moody. And then we hear him coming down the hallway, like, man, let's just fake like we sleep. fake leg. Then when I open my eyes to peek, because I know he's in the room, he's like, Moody, his penis was right in my face. I was like, I turned over so hard, fell on, off the other side of the bed. He was like, Moody. I was like, man, I'm going home, Robert. I'm going home. His penis was live direct in my grill piece. Moody. I was like, I'm too young for this. Cue up the saxophone. But man, it was just, that's what it was, though.
I got chased naked by a special needs dude at my friend's house. They had a brother, but he was older than us, like way older. And he was special needs. And he used to always stay in the back room, though. Mm-hmm. And then one day, he came barreling out the back, and I panicked. They were just like, but they was messing with me, too. Like, my friends, they held me, and they was like, get him! So I didn't know what was going to happen. Yeah. My soul left. I watched myself from the outside. I was like, I'm done.
Dr. Strange moment. Man, yeah. Because, you know, because I used to work with special needs, man, and they... Once they wild out,
that's it.
There's no holes barred. There's no restriction on the level, you know, because they not. They had this one. It was this one dude I worked with, and he was like disabled mentally and a little bit physically, so he had like a weaker left arm, but his right arm was like cocked diesel. Yeah. His hand was huge, and he used to knock people out, whether they be like other clients or staff members.
Yeah,
they were like, all right, when you work with Peter, just make sure you watch that. That strong hand. Yeah. So every time I worked with him, I was like up against that arm.
Yeah, not letting it loose.
If I was on the other side, he'd be like, to reach around. Like, I can't get knocked out on the clock. But man, I respected that arm because it was like Thor's hammer on the other side. I was like, man, how you got one strong side?
Strong side.
The strong side. Left That's what they side. Call it. Anyway, man, we're going to go to question. First of all, Sarah Turtle asks, well, what was old girl's name in
Lisa Turtle?
Lisa Turtle. Okay, that's what I was thinking. What would you say to a young girl who grew up without her dad, and what's key to know about a guy who cares and one who doesn't? I feel like women who are without dads don't know what to expect from guys and get fooled easily at young adult ages.
Damn.
That's a good question.
It is.
Because I really do feel like dads are super important to the children.
Yeah.
And I notice a lot of times with girls and women who are super close to their dads.
They're not for the bullshit.
They're not having it.
No.
They have a standard set. You know, I know a comedian, a female comedian. Her dad, you know. Parents been together her whole life. She watched her dad. She's like, my mom doesn't even, she's never pumped gas.
Yeah.
And so, and I see the standard has been set, you know what I mean? And I personally like the standards that are set.
Yeah.
When it comes to, you know, young women and dads. But the question is, like, how do you know, how can you tell that somebody truly cares?
And, I think you just have to be shown.
They like, have to show it with time. You got to have time, and they just have to be. You just have to watch for consistent behavior, because like you know, people they put on a mask
up front,
when they first dating. They come in with the mask on, and then they slowly take it off. But usually, the mask comes off pretty early. Like they don't keep it on too long. Or you'll see glimpses of it. You got to peep for the glimpses. Like, just watch people's behavior.
Yeah.
Like, in patterns. I believe in behaviors and patterns. They say a lot about a person. And so if you can just watch that, that'll help you out a lot. And just don't ignore the pattern.
And don't ignore if you have, this is what I be getting mad at. If you have male friends and they tell you this, that,
right,
and whatever, take what they're saying.
Right.
I have so many female friends, and they'll ask me about a dude or whatever. Mm-hmm. What do you think this is? I will tell them.
Right.
They ignore the hell out of it
yep.
and end up in what I said was going to happen. I'm like, why didn't you? I told you this.
Yep.
I told you as your friend. Now, I wouldn't reveal this information
right.
if I wasn't your friend.
Pete, always be mindful of the guy advice. Because we know how men think. Because we're men.
Exactly.
So, and we see the patterns. We see, there's nothing new under the sun. So we'll be like, yo, he just want to smash.
This is it.
Yep.
Guys really do that? Yes.
Yes, they do.
Yes, we do.
We are villains.
I'm giving you insight to secrets that you're not supposed to have.
Guys are villains out the gate. Just know that. But there are some truly nice guys out there.
Yeah.
There are some truly nice that usually get overlooked. But, you know, just watch it. Just watch the patterns, you know, and go from there. Like, I look at it like when you look at, like, Future versus Russell Wilson.
Oh, Russell's, first of all. Russell's got to lower the bar. We can't compete, Russell. We can't compete.
Killing it. And, like, he's a goofball, nice guy. You know, some people call him corny, but he's doing the right thing by
his
woman.
We can't compete, Russell.
He bought his woman her masters and gave them to her in her name. You can't beat that.
No.
But I bet you a lot of girls are like, he's too nice. Women do that all the time.
And that's why sometimes I'll be feeling, when they end up in trash, I'm like,
they get drug over the cold.
The nice guy.
The nice guy you just ignored. He was too nice, remember? And now you went for the
nice guys, they
the cool guy.
And what is corny?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, like, okay, Russell. You can call him, but at the end of the day, he's a supreme athlete.
Right.
Champion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Pro bowler. Good guy. Stepdad. Husband. Like.
Right.
If that's corny, I'll be corny all day.
I'll take the corn.
Like, what do you want?
I will take that corny life. That's a good life.
That's a great life. He's excellent at what he does in his field.
Mm-hmm. Paid
then
well.
Then he treats her right. Like, what? I don't understand. What else do you want?
Right. Yeah, man. The women. But yeah, so I would say just look out for patterns and behaviors. That's the best thing I can tell you.
What do you think?
Tell you. Yeah. That's deep, Kendra. That is deep. That's super deep.
Next question is from Fiend1974 asks, I'd like to hear the funniest memories you both have of spending time with your mothers, or the most memorable moments. They don't have to be funny. Lessons you learned, crucial moments, just for them being there for you, whatever. I got a lot of mom memories. My mom is... Like, on stage, I talk about my dad more.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he was more outlandish.
Yeah.
But my mom was funny. It's just not, like, it's funny to us.
Yeah.
Or, like, how you had to be there moments. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember she got her hair braided. We went to the Bahamas for my graduation. We all went as a family. And she had got her hair braided. And, like, you know, to get in the pool. But it was making her swim weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we was playing pool volleyball. And every time the ball was coming, she was, like, she was doing this weird, like, we were like, what are you doing? So the whole trip, we'd be eating dinner or whatever. We was like, but it's like, it's like a lot of stuff like that. That'd be funny, but it's like, that ain't funny on stage.
Right.
But she's just, my mom's the goofy one. She's the dancer one. She loves to sing. She used to wake us up.
She's good at taboo.
Yeah, she used to wake us up. She woke us up on the mornings. Remember that commercial? I can't remember the real commercial now, because all I can remember is her song that she remixed. Plug It In. Remember the Glade plug-in?
Plug It In.
So she used to come in our rooms, open up all the blinds, singing Wake It Up, Wake It Up.
Wake it up. Every time
she'd be like, it's a sunny day, let's go out and play. We used to hate the commercial. We hated the song. But then after a while, it just got funny.
Yeah.
So she would just do it, and she would start dancing. We'd throw the covers off. But it'd be funny.
That's adorable, man.
She was so ridiculous.
I'm with it. My mom, man, when my mom would say rise and shine, because of her voice and the tone, it made me want to sleep even more. She was like, rise and shine. I'm like, oh, if I could just. Her saying that was like a blanket in itself. I was like, you just put on another blanket.
Yeah.
Them cold mornings. But my mom, man, I got mad stories with her. Because me and her would hang out a lot. That's why I love movies so much, because she would always take me. And then she was no nonsense. Like, we went out and about in the streets. She was going off on people at McDonald's, because if they were rude, she just wasn't having it. She's like, look, everybody don't deserve a tip. And then I remember she would just go off on people like, if we catching the L, we in the subway or whatever. She'd be like, just leave us alone. I'd be like, all right. Okay. Because, you know, she was in mama bear mode.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a different.
Yeah, so she would just be in that. So I would see all of that. You know what I mean? Oh, he got the marker. So we would see all of that. And another moment with her is, I don't know, we all use like lingo a lot. You know, we all use like verbal lingo a lot, and we get that from her too. Like repeated lingo and sayings and all that. We would get that from her. And my mom too, man. My mom is a game nighter, you know what I'm saying? She's down to play games, Uno, SeaWorld Fish. You know what I mean? We all got that from her. I'll never forget this one time, man. She pulled a wag move on us. She was coming down the steps and stepped on a piece of Lego. And she was like, come get this Lego. And then she went back up there. She didn't even finish the come down. She was just like, get these Legos off the steps. And we're back upstairs. We died laughing. We're like, the Legos move. You can come down. Now she never came back down.
She was done.
She was done, man. She was like, I'm finished with this. But the infamous story that my brothers would tell you, my older brothers, because my mom never gave me a whooping. She never had to. She just had the look. And my dad gave me whoopings all the time because I was a little more bad over at his house. One day she came home, and my brothers was playing. They had burned a hole in the screen in the window. And so I was sitting in that window after they burned a hole in it, and I was just shoving like shirts and pillowcases through the hole. And I was like, a toddler at this time. My mom came home, man, because they was trying to set stuff on fire, and like they was trying to set the Hot Wheels tracks on fire and had the cars ride through the flaming, you know, tracks. So she came home, man. She gave him a whooping with the Hot Wheels racetracks. And I was just in the window just still shoving stuff through the thing. But my brothers bring up that story any chance they get. I was just, and she, you know, she was coming home, and she was seeing me in the window, yeah. Like, what are y'all doing up there? And I was just like, there's a hole in the screen.
I think I got my mom whooped me twice from what I can remember. Yeah. And the last time I was 7. My dad did most of the disciplining.
Right.
But I'm glad because even though my dad, it was way more painful and it hurt, my mom whooped wild. And I didn't like that. My dad had structured whoops. Right. Like they was lay down across the butt.
Right.
You know, with his big, thick mailman belt, though. That was ridiculous.
The mailman belt.
But my mom would just bust in the room swinging.
Yeah.
So you just getting hit everywhere. I did not like that. There was no structure. It was chaos.
Right.
She would just come and she hit me in the balls one time. I was like, man, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This is not regular whooping.
Yeah, man. She come in on the savagery.
She was just I only can remember two of them now. And I was 7 the last one. After that, it was all my dad.
Pops.
Yeah, we respected our mom, never talked back now, but we didn't fear her. It was just so much respect, it didn't need to be any fear.
Right.
My dad, we scared to get in trouble. Like, just terrified to get in trouble.
Right.
I hate it. Like, bad report card, she would just put it on his nightstand. I'd be like, I just got to go to bed. If I just go to bed at 3. Anyway, it never worked. They just wake us up, and I just like, I just going to go to sleep.
Sleep ain't going to save you. They show up in your dream with a Freddy Krueger sweater on. Like these grades.
Yeah, my mom was funny, and she played a lot of games. My mom actually made it hard for me to date because of what I saw her do. Mm. She's 3 boys in the house and a husband, and she worked. My mom never got a weave. My mom got her first weave when she was 50-something. Mm. She did her hair every day, cooked dinner, took care of everybody, worked. Like, all this stuff,
right.
Like, it was nothing. And I'm like, and you're telling me you're too tired to do whatever? You have no kids? No, I could not date because I'm like, y'all lazy.
Right.
Or y'all are trash.
Yeah.
I saw her be amazing with so much to do.
Right.
And girls are like, I don't have time to do my hair. She did her hair with 3 kids. And what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't have time to cook. She cooked dinner every day.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, man.
For a long time, just to And then she was a project person too, so she would like to fix stuff.
Yeah.
So broken boards, she'd get the screws and hammers out. She, so I'm like, how am I supposed to date?
Right.
When this bar has been set way too high.
That's funny. That's like how women and the dads are.
Yeah.
The example, the bar has been set. Cause my mom, you know, she was divorced, single, three boys in the house. She was cooking, going to work. She always had a job. You know what I'm saying? Even when the struggle was real, she was still working. Come home, cook. I seen him break down like one time, and I was just like, "Yeah." But that was
yeah.
It. You know what I mean? So I was like,
"Yeah." It was. She set the bar super high. I was like, "Y'all trash."
Yeah, man.
So I had no intentions of dating for like ever.
Right.
Just seeing the girls of my generation, I was like, "Y'all suck." And like you said, I get it on the girls who have dads, and they be like, "These dudes the bar, just trash." I get it.
The bar has been set, man. Like, if I had a daughter, oh, you best believe I'm setting the bar high.
My cousin purposely is never going to be able to date.
Man.
Because she's, not only she spoiled, you know, she has her father, my uncle, and she's spoiled rotten. And he be doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
He be laughing. Like, they'll go to a restaurant, she orders lobster. And he be laughing because he be like, she's never going to be able to date. Like, she's used to different stuff.
And lobster? She'd be like, at Chick-fil-A, she
and they'd be like, they'd be like, come on now, you know, like stop. But at the same time, like she'd just be like, I get stuff. My dad loves me, he takes care of me,
right?
And it, like they set her up to where these dudes, she gonna be like, and she's the runner runs track,
okay.
So she's super focused on that,
right?
You know, Junior Olympics, meddling,
right?
So she got so much going for her. She gonna be like,
she ain't gonna have time for nothing less than the best.
Yes,
these dudes, I'm with it.
These dudes are gonna have a chance in hell. Yeah, I love it. I'm like, yeah,
I'm all for it, man. You give me a daughter, I'm setting the bar.
No, I'm gonna be ridiculous.
Anyway, y'all, that's it. This was a long episode. We apologize, but it be like that.
Is it though? Because they be like, y'all could do an hour and a half.
Okay,
we be cutting like I read the comments last time we did one that was like 40 minutes. It was like, these episodes are getting shorter and shorter. Like, we want a full hour.
Nah, man. I don't like longness when it comes to
I don't
to
either.
This.
I like leaving you on more for
yeah,
a while.
Yeah, less is more.
Less
yeah.
is more.
Less is more.
You don't
want
to just do too much just to, for the sake of doing it.
Right. Yeah. I'm saying. Unless it's a movie I really want to see. If the Avengers Endgame is 3 hours, I'm
oh,
all
yeah,
for
oh,
it.
I don't care.
But for this, I'm done. I'm done. But we'll be back, though. Until next time. This has been another episode of Daddy Issues. Don't forget. Send us questions on the YouTube page. Send us questions on the YouTube page, not to Keon's DMs.
They stopped. Though.
Oh, you stopped? All right. Yeah, they listening. They listening. Yeah, so you can find me at Tony Baker Comedy on everything, TonyBakerComedy.com. They can find you.
At Keon Poley on everything.
And until next time, we out here.
Peace out.